All right, put your bulletins away. Bible's closed. Pop quiz. Remember that feeling? Okay, I'm not just making that up. This is real. Pop quiz. All right. How many guys read the book of Ecclesiastes one time this past week? Oh, first service dogged you. First service took you. They schooled you, okay? We still had hands raised up. How many of you guys actually read it twice? Got a couple two-time readers. Three times? Hey! Four times? Five times? Oh, good job. Give him a hand, though. We had a couple went four times this week. And they didn't commit suicide. You must have read chapter 12 every time, didn't you? You got to finish the book. You got to finish the book. So the rest of the pop quiz this morning deals with some things that are in our work area. And money and things like that. My attitude towards money. And this is multiple choice. Answer this to yourself in your own head. Kind of getting our minds around the subject at hand. My attitude towards money. I never have enough. That's A. B, I could stand to have more. C, I have too much. I had to add that in there. It had to be a choice. D, I just remembered that I forgot to pay a bill. And now I'm going to be thinking about it the whole service. Okay, multiple choice. My attitude towards stuff. A, I have piles of stuff I don't use. B, I have plans for stuff I want. C, if I had $500 given to me today, I know exactly what I would run out and buy. D, all of the above. My attitude towards work projects at work. I hope this benefits the company more than me. It's choice A. Choice B, I hope my partner doesn't get all the credit. Choice C, I hope my partner doesn't get any credit. Choice D, not another useless project. My attitude towards retirement, A, can't wait. B, I'll probably pick up a part-time job just to keep me occupied. C, I'll probably pick up another job after retirement because my retirement was cut in half because of the 2008 stock market crash. Ow. That hits a little too close to be funny to some. First service, I shared that, and it was just like crickets. Sorry, guys. That was real, wasn't it? And choice D on that, what's this thing you call retirement? Last question in the pop quiz this morning is my attitude towards relaxation and family time. A, I miss meals and my family with my family often because of work. Choice B, I don't sleep well because of my work. Choice C, I don't feel like I can get my mind off my work. And choice D, could you repeat the last question? I just thought about a client I needed to call on Monday. You know, we were talking about the meaning of life this series, diving into the book of Ecclesiastes. And as we look at the meaning of life, work is a very important piece to look at that. Because if you look at your life and you chart your life out as a pie graph, everything you do falls in one of three categories. And we've got this up here. You've got sleep. You're supposed to sleep 8 hours a day. All right, you got 24 hours a day, divide by three. Okay, 8 hours. So that's a third of your life, period. Your life. You're supposed to sleep. Not many of us are doing a good job of that, okay? Mine's a little bitty. Other third, you work. Now, some of you are thinking, 8 hours, man, that would be a breeze. I'm hitting 10, 12, 14-hour days, okay? But this is the way it should work, the way I believe God laid it out. Sleep, work, and then you got a third of your life for the other stuff. All right, taking a shower, feeding your face, spending time with your family, playing video games, doing something with your hobby, playing soccer, whatever it is, that's the other third of your life is for. Now, as we're talking about the meaning of life, we've been spending a lot of time in the other stuff category, just one third of your life. Sleep, really can't talk about the meaning of life. I can sit here and say, okay, you need sleep 8 hours, and then you're not going to listen to me, and you know, it'd be a useless sermon. It'd be short, though. Maybe we could use that for Father's Day. But work is a third of your life. So if you're going to find meaning in your life as a whole, you have to find meaning at work. You have to find meaning in life at work. Solomon says many times in the book of Ecclesiastes that work and labor are meaningless. And our accomplishments here on earth, they're like Patrick Swayze in the movie Dirty Dancing when he was chasing that girl. Because she was like the what? She was like the wind. All right, it says our achievements, they're like chasing the wind. They're like chasing, it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He says, so I hated life. Solomon, why did you hate life? Well, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is what? Meaningless. Those of you who read Ecclesiastes, you're probably sick of that word. He uses that word throughout the whole book. He's saying work, I hated life because work was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. We have to keep in mind as we study the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon shares a conclusion, and we've been touching the conclusion through the series. Next week, Father's Day, pow, the conclusion. We hit the conclusion, that last chapter and what Solomon brings all this through. But as the process, as we're working through the other chapters, what Solomon does is he takes us through this process. I had a friend of mine that shared with me that in a secular college, they studied Ecclesiastes in a philosophy class to look at the existentialism that's involved in it, that asking questions, you know, what's life worth? What's the meaning of life? What can we do in life? What's good in life? What's bad in life? And a lot of the interesting observation this individual made was that all the other works that dealt with those type of questions, they just asked the questions. In that class, the only book that gave the answer was Ecclesiastes. Got to the end and said, here's the answer. Here's what you do. So we're going to be hitting that next week. But on the process there, we get a chance to walk through the journey with Solomon. And Solomon is just raw with this, with raw attitude on things. And he says, man, work's awful sometimes. It's meaningless is what he says. It's and this attitude of meaningless, it takes away things that we should have in work. When you have an attitude where your job, what you do for a living, what you spend 8+ hours a day doing, and you feel like that's meaningless, that's depressing. That's debilitating. That's confining. That's my words. I'm just not getting words for this. I need a volunteer. Okay, we've had children a few weeks ago. Last week we had women. We had a woman in the first service, woman in the second service. This week I need a man. No, you don't have to do push-ups. You got picked. All right, I got Tom. Come on up, Tom. Give Tom a hand. Now, I actually talked to Tom before the service because I knew I was going to have to talk him through what was going to happen. So, Tom, if you could have a seat. And Tom is just going to serve as a visual illustration of, yes, he's very visual. And this fits Tom because Tom is an illusionist. Okay, that's the Christian word for a magician. All right. And so he's got some connections there to the whole Houdini thing. So this might not work as well. But we're going to give it a try. All right, so we're talking about how sometimes when we have the wrong attitude towards work can be confining. Now, you're not claustrophobic, are you, Tom?
No.
Okay, good news, because you're going to get tied up here. Here we go. Confining, because sometimes work is like that. Throw that guy under there. Whoop. Trying to look at the holes, the loopholes, how you can get out. Look at him. See, he's pulling this little trick because magicians will sometimes they'll like puff things up real big so that when they get a chance to get out. So we're going to pull the arms back here a little bit here. All right, there we go. There we go. Because I want you to illustrate this, Tom. These people need this. See, this is like, you can feel like Paul because in Ephesians, Paul said, I'm in chains for Christ. So you're kind of like Paul today. Okay, this isn't going to work. All right, you're too comfortable.
You said I was going to be comfortable.
Well, yeah, you get a comfy chair. But, man, I mean, we have to illustrate this. This is for Jesus, man.
You're a little too good at this, Dustin.
Well. Can you reach your feet? Can you reach the lock? Any chance of getting out?
Not yet.
Do you feel confined?
Pretty confined, yeah.
Okay. So we're just going to leave him there because he's going to be our illustration of what it feels like when we have this attitude towards life. towards work. Work is meaningless, and that's where you get when you have this kind of attitude. Let's explore this a little bit. We're supposed to enjoy work. Okay, you guys can pull your bulletins out. We're going to write this down. We're supposed to enjoy work. Work was given to us by God. He gave us the drive to work. He gave us the ability to work. He gave us the necessity to work. You got to work the ground to get the food from it. In fact, if you visit all the way back to the garden, work was given before sin entered the world. Some of you think, man, work is a result of sin. No, work got harder after sin, but work existed in the world before sin. Work's a part of what God made us to be. It's what he made you to be. He wants you to enjoy your work. But read what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? All right, as we've been walking through the book of Ecclesiastes, we've noticed a common thread that when God is the center of your life, life has meaning. But when you're the center of your life, and I'm not saying you're the center of your life. I mean, we're just using it as an illustration. But if the shoe, that's just between you and God. So anyway, if your life is centered around you, then this is what it's like. You're all chained up. So if my work and my drive, my desire to work, if I am the center focus of my work, then my goal is to be a rich man. A rich man can be towards wealth, towards prestige, towards power. You're wanting to gain things for yourself. And that's meaningless. Solomon says, whoever loves money, they're never going to have money enough. Whoever loves wealth, they're never going to have wealth enough. Everything that you accumulate, everything you get, all the plaques on your wall, all the prestige, all the power, all the control, everything you've got, he says, at the end of the day, when you got it, all you can do is look at it. And when you come to a realization that that's meaningless, that's an awful time to hit in your life. When you realize all the work I've done, everything I've worked for, it's meaningless. And what this does, this attitude, it brings a point where fulfillment is always projected into the future. But to quote CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, someday never comes. You project it in the future. Another thing that happens with this attitude of wanting to be a rich man, you're serving yourself, you're wanting things for yourself, is that satisfaction from my work is found in my paycheck. We're going to counter this in a minute and it'll make a little more sense, but that's confining. That's not freedom. Instead of being a rich man, instead of searching to be a rich man, when we put God as the center of our focus, when God is the center force of why we work, what we do, then we change our attitude into the attitude that I want to be a laborer. We're going to better define this word in a moment. Let's read where I picked this up from in Ecclesiastes 5. It says, the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of a rich man, the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. So Solomon is separating these two. There's a laborer and there's a rich man. The laborer gets sleep. That's the good place to be. So what is a laborer? When my goal is in the work, when God is the focus of that, then some things happen to your attitude. Some things free you. You find fulfillment in the simple act of working. It's not about the paycheck. It's not about the wealth. It's not about what you're getting. It's simply the work I'm doing. I enjoy what I do. Enjoy your work. So many times we get focused so much on what's to come, what we're getting, what kind of promotion's available to me, what's this, and that's confining, and that keeps you from enjoying your work. Take a moment, slow down, just enjoy the moment. Enjoy what you're doing. And maybe you got a job where you just don't enjoy it. It's not your cup of tea. It's not where you feel like you're gifted. Working lets me enjoy God's gifts that he's given me. And even if it's not a place where you're using all of your gifts, if you're just in one of those jobs, it's a job in between jobs where you just got to take it because you need a job. Take a moment Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, every week, every day this next week. And when you're doing your mundane task that up till today has been meaningless to you, take a moment and say, you know what, I might not be using the major gifts that God's been giving me, but let me take a look at some of the other gifts. I've got eyesight. I'm looking at what I'm doing. I've got hands. I've got a mind that can deduct. I can think through these things. And start finding things that that God has gifted you with, that without those things you wouldn't be able to do the job that you're doing. And you start thinking about that. And stop thinking about what's to come. Stop thinking about tomorrow. Stop thinking about paychecks. Stop thinking about wealth. Stop thinking about what is in it for you. And think about what God has done. And focus on God when you're working. And think about what God has given you, the gifts he's given you to work. Now, if you're in a job where you're using your giftedness, it's even easier to do that. When your goal is to be a laborer, then your satisfaction is found in the work alone. Just in the labor. I'm doing my job, and that feels good. Enjoy your work, because you miss that. You miss out on that. Stephen Stills of Crosby, Stills, and Nash said, love the one you're with. Now, he's talking about people. But today, we're talking about jobs. You know, if you don't have a job that you like, it's just a menial job, it doesn't feel anything, find things in it to enjoy. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. It doesn't have to be meaningless. You can enjoy your work no matter what you do. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he says, moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift from God. Now, pause for a moment on that. It's a gift from God to be able to accept your lot and be happy in his work. Accept that gift. No matter what you do, accept that gift. Be happy in what you do. He continues and he says, he seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. So if you're over here and you're confined, you're chained all up, and you're thinking all about yourself, and what am I getting out of this, and what can I get, and this job just isn't fulfilling, and I'm just not enjoying it, it's not using my gifts, it's not doing anything. You got all this thought and complaining, and you're not accepting the gift of God to be able to accept your lot. When you put God as the center of your work, then you get the chance to accept that and say, this is where God has put me. This is where God has blessed me. He's given me gifts to do this. I'm excited to be here. And no matter how menial the world might view this, this is where I am. And I'm going to find happiness here because happiness is a gift from God to accept where I am. And then when you do that, look what happens in that verse that we just read. We can go back to that. Because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. See, when you're over here, and you're thinking about these things, then your heart, your mind, they're focused on things that God has given you, not on what you're getting or not getting. And God fills you with gladness of heart. Isn't that where we want to be? Enjoy your work. Enjoy what you do. Now, the very beginning of this verse, he starts off by saying, moreover, when God gives, when God gives any man wealth and possessions, he said, enjoy those too. All right, we're getting to that. Enjoy your work. Enjoy what you do, but also enjoy the fruits. Enjoy the fruits. Enjoy the things that you get. Enjoy your wealth. Enjoy your possessions. In the verse we read a little bit ago, catch what the reference was on that, Ecclesiastes 5. In Ecclesiastes 5, when he talks about those who have wealth, they never have wealth enough. When they have money, they never have money enough. If you are trying to enjoy your fruits with yourself as the center of your life, then you can write this down. I will never have enough. I never have enough. I never do. And that's confining. Do you feel confined still?
I feel confined.
Are you claustrophobic yet?
Not yet.
You doing all right? Okay.
I'm doing good.
We're doing all right. We're ticking away. We'll be in good shape. All right. I got about another half hour. But when you're living that way and you are the driving force behind why you work, and you're trying to enjoy the fruits of your labor for you, you'll never have enough. And that's not just the money side of things. That's my achievements aren't high enough when I'm living for myself. I never have enough money. I'm not satisfied with my income. I want more and more goodies, more and more stuff. And that's confining. And you're not enjoying what God has given you, your wealth, your possessions. Now see, when God becomes the center of your focus in your work environment, then you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. You can say, I enjoy what I have, not what I don't have or what I'd like to have or what I want more of. It's just simply, when God's the center of your life, I enjoy what I have. And that brings about some really freeing, liberating feelings, attitudes. I thank God for it. I enjoy the fruits of my labor. I enjoy what God's given me. I enjoy what I have, and I thank God for it. I take time to say, God, I really appreciate this car, even though it's not newest, even though it's not the latest, greatest, and my radio doesn't work, and my headlights are stuck up, and the door doesn't shut, and I have to lock it to hope that it doesn't fly open while I'm driving down the highway. Thank you, God, for what I have, and you get gladness of heart. When you're at work, thank God for what you have. Thank God that you got a job in this market. Thank God for it. In addition to that, take it a step further. I generously give God back the first portion. When you're putting God first, that's a true test to say, well, is God really first? If I'm giving him the first cut, the first 10% of what I've been given, it's a tithe. It's a way of saying, God, thank you. Thank you for blessing me and letting me live on the other 90%. And when you can do that, you know that you're in an attitude where God is the center of your focus. When I'm struggling with tithe, when I'm getting down to that and I'm thinking, man, it's tight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I'm starting to feel chained. I'm starting to feel debilitated. I'm starting to feel confined. And I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about how I'm going to be taken care of. How am I going to be able to take care of my family if our checkbook's in the red? I free up from that and I thank God for what I got and I give him a portion of it. He takes care of me. He'll take care of you. I'm content with what I have. Just be content. Paul says in Philippians, he said, you got to learn contentment. It's not something you just naturally get. Paul says you got to learn it. In addition to being able to enjoy your work, to enjoy the fruits of your work, in a work environment, we need to enjoy balance. Enjoy the balance. When your goal is to be a rich man, you quickly learn that you never have enough and you're never satisfied with your income or your wealth, and that drives you to a life that is out of balance. Ecclesiastes 4 says, again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. Well, if there's no one around, it must be himself. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. He's all alone. That's sad. My question is to Solomon, did this guy start out alone? Or was it because he was so centered in his work, so selfish with his work, that it drove him to a point where he didn't have a family anymore? He didn't have a son. He didn't have brothers. See, when your life's out of balance, this is how you feel. I'm stressed and worn out because when I'm the center, my life is out of balance. If you're here this morning, that's how you feel because of your job, because of your work, you're out of balance. And it needs to be fixed. You're hyper-focused on your job. You just can't stop thinking about it. You can't leave it at work. You go home and you're still thinking, or maybe you don't even go home. You're working, working, working. No rest, no peace. No family time. This is not what God wants for your life. Enjoy the balance by putting God first instead of putting yourself first. Because you can put God first and I experience freedom. Does that sound like a good word? A little bit. Would you like to be free? Okay, I still got a little more. I experience freedom. Because God is the center of my life is well balanced. Just before the verse that we just read in Ecclesiastes 4. Just before it, he says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. You got to get balance. When you got both hands full of work, that's out of balance. That's not good. It's better to have one hand of work, one hand of rest. Take time to rest. Sabbath day rest was given in the Ten Commandments long ago. We watched Jesus as he walked on the earth and he got away. He got rest. We're encouraged to get rest. A life centered around God will get rest. It's what God wants for you. When you're chained to yourself, you won't rest. You won't find peace. Ecclesiastes 8 says, so I commend the enjoyment of life because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat, drink, and be glad. Nothing is better than to do what? Eat, drink, and be glad. Watch this. This is awesome. He says, then, connecting word, then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of his life God has given him under the sun. You learn how to enjoy life. God is saying, look, watch me. I'm going to model your life in a way that you can enjoy life, that you can enjoy balance. And when you enjoy relaxation, when you take time off, when you get some downtime, then you're going to be able to enjoy your work a whole lot better than when you're slaving away and slaving away. Family time, when you have this attitude and God's first, you're going to spend some family time. I love what he says in Ecclesiastes 9:9. I got to read this. I think it's just hilarious the way he states it. He says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. It just seems kind of out of balance right there. But he's saying, you know what? Things can just crash all around you. Things can get nasty. You better keep things right with your wife. Sometimes she might be the only light that you have on this physical earth. You better keep that right. You better enjoy your time with your wife. Keep your life in balance. Keep your life in balance. Take time to sharpen my axe, further develop my skills. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. When you're working 10, 14 hours a day, and you're chained and you're confined, and you're just trying to get the job done, you're just trying to get this done, you're not taking time to step back. And if you take time to get a balanced life, and God is first and foremost, then you're going to have some time to start sharpening your skills. Maybe get a little more education in your area. And what's amazing with that is when you work smarter, you don't have to work harder. Sharpen your axe. Every one of you knows that if you went out and you chopped wood with a dull axe, it would take longer. It would be harder. But if you take just a few moments, take some time for yourself, sharpen your axe, you're going to be able to cut the wood better. You're going to be able to cut it faster. You're not going to do that if your life's out of balance. So we get freedom when our life's in balance. You want freedom, don't you? Should I let him free? No, I didn't think I'd have. I'm going to go and let you free. Let me see where I'm at. Oh. Here we go. Give him a hand, guys. There you go. You got it? Thank you so much, Tom. Hope you guys remember that. Get this back in here. There we go. One more. Be free. Learn to enjoy your work, what you do, by putting God first. Learn to enjoy what God has given you, your possessions, your gifts, the fruit of your labor. Learn to enjoy the balance. And last, learn to enjoy the success. When you're first and you're chained to that, you have an attitude like this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon says, I do all this work, and I labor, and I labor, and I labor, and I succeed, and I'm great. And then it gets passed on to someone else. What good is that? See, that's when you're first. You let God be first. Well, I'll give you the note on that. It's frustrating to know that my success is passed on to someone else. When you're focused in on yourself, when your job is about you, it's frustrating. I think we've been there before. And that's tough. But when you put God first, then the things that you do are to glorify Him. The things you do, He gets glory for. And so when you get success, it's exciting to know that that success is being passed on to someone else. It's exciting to know that you're doing something that someone else can build on. And that something that you did is to God's glory. And when they build on it, it's just something bigger to build on what God has done. See how it changes things? Don't live a meaningless life. Don't work a meaningless job. Find meaning. Find joy in your work. Find joy in what you earn from your work. Find balance in your life. Find a combination here again. What's that combination? What does that say? J836. Go on and pull it. Let's see if that's right. Yeah, go on and pull it. Pull it. No, pull that out. Combination. J836. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Let Him set you free this morning. Let Him set you free from the chains that you wear at work. In addition to that, not only because your workplace, Him setting you free at your workplace, that's child's play for Jesus. Maybe you got something bigger this morning. Maybe you're still trapped in your own sin. That's what Jesus was talking about when He shares that in John 8. He says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The combination, your lock is Jesus Christ, and you need your chain set free this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus in your life, and you're struggling, you're chained, and you don't find meaning at work, you don't find meaning in life, you don't even find meaning in your sleep, you're meaningless. And it's because God's not the center of your life. You need Jesus. You need to accept Him. If that's a choice you're ready to make, if you're ready to step up to the plate, I invite you to come down. I challenge you to come down and start the biggest adventure that you'll ever, ever have. Accepting Jesus in your heart, being baptized into Him, and starting a brand new life full of meaning, full of purpose.